Apply.
Yeah, we're still going to be talking about it a little bit today. Sorry.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Take us through the Addison Russell foul ball. You see a foul ball coming. Obviously, you're thinking, number one, protect the nachos. Take it from there.
So I was thinking about my nachos in my hand, and then all of a sudden the foul ball was coming down. I kind of took a step back, and then as the foul ball came down, all of a sudden Russell came flying in and about gave my girlfriend a concussion.
And by talking about it today, I mean we're talking about Nacho Man. What else would we be talking about? Welcome in. It is 4:06, the Todd Brommelkamp Show, coming your way on the 26th of September. Alex Kuhn along for the ride. Kyle Mann, our producer, on the other side of the glass, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. And boy, we got a great show for you today. I know I say that every day. Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com is going to be with us at 4:30 today. We'll talk a little bit about what was said by both the players and Kirk Ferentz at his media availability in Iowa City earlier today. Lots of news to get to today. A baseball world, you've got the Chicago Cubs on the precipice of clinching the National League Central. They can do so tonight, either with a victory over the St. Louis Cardinals. Hopefully no nachos will be harmed this evening, or they can also clinch were they to lose if the Milwaukee Brewers lose. They're taking on the Cincinnati Reds tonight. They open up a series with the Reds. So
Nacho Man's girlfriend almost got a concussion, and then Yadier Molina is in concussion protocol. If that's not a bad omen as to how the Cardinals' season is going to end, I don't know what is.
Cardinals are still only 2.5 games behind the Rockies for
Amazing.
The second and final NL wild card. So we're going to touch on a little bit of baseball. We had the NFL last night wrapping up week 3 with the Cowboys and the Cardinals. And nice, a little bit of a surprise here, but the ratings were actually up this week. Everybody's talking about how down the ratings are for the NFL. They were up 3%. This time over the ratings period last year, same week. And, well, there's kind of a major story that blew up this morning that could cripple or save college basketball, depending on how you choose to look at things. 319-366-1600. That is the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. And we want to hear from you today. Four assistant coaches arrested, and you've got some shoe company representatives involved with Adidas, and who knows how far reaching this is going to be. But Louisville is implicated, and Auburn, and who's the head coach at Auburn? Well, it's Bruce Pearl, who has run afoul of the NCAA before. Now, the good part about this is the NCAA didn't know anything about this until this morning. This was all the FBI acting on its own. NCAA gets completely caught with its pants down, and you've got to think that this is going to, when everything is said and done, probably affect a lot more than these four assistant coaches, one of whom is Chuck Person, who was a tremendous player in the NBA back in the day with the Indiana Pacers. And yeah, you look at this and you kind of go, oh, some of the usual suspects are involved here. Go figure.
Cheaters cheat. That's what I said earlier today. No matter how many times you reprimand them, cheaters cheat. And we'll find out how far-reaching this investigation goes as the dominoes continue to fall. But before we dig into this and we dig into Rick Pitino and these four assistants and these schools, NCAA haters, people that dislike the NCAA, today is your day. This is, in my opinion, one of the most embarrassing days in the history of the NCAA. Why? Because it was proven basically how worthless they are. They have absolutely no power in situations of investigations. How long has it taken them to rule on Ole Miss, to rule on Baylor, to rule on North Carolina? And they still haven't done it. It's been over a year in each case. And the FBI comes in, and in 3 months, they took down what appears to be an entire fraudulent ring in one sting operation. So basically, this was the FBI saying, you guys get out of the way. Let the adults handle the business here. You guys have no power. We're going to come in, stay out of our way. In fact, they didn't even say that. They didn't say anything. The NCAA finding out about this today is laughable. It's funny, and it shows just how little power they have.
We've got Wes on the text line saying that he cannot wait to see how long, see what else comes out of this story, because this can't be the only four people involved. And I'm tending to lean in that direction myself here, because you've got tapes, you've got, this is a 3 month investigation. And I think sometimes people forget the difference between real life and watching Law and Order on TV. And you see this with other investigations that are going on in the country. People are like, well, they haven't found anything yet. There must not be. It's fake news. They haven't found anything yet. No, it's not a 60-minute TV show. These investigations take a long time. You have to be thorough. You're looking under every rock. You're collecting as much evidence as possible. This was 3 months. And you know what that means to me? There's 3 months of interviews. There's 3 months of telephone calls and recordings and transcripts. And the further, because remember, we're just finding out about this today, the further that people dig on this, the more programs are probably going to wind up coming up with black eyes. But perhaps the biggest of all, there isn't a steak in the world. You ever get a black eye, mom put steak
yes.
on it?
Yes. Yeah.
There isn't a steak big enough in the world to put on the University of Louisville.
No.
And people are talking about giving Louisville basketball the death penalty.
That discussion needs to come up in this situation. And in case you missed it earlier today, this was U.S. Attorney June H. Kim talking about a school. He named the four assistants and the schools that they represented who have been arrested, but he did not get specific, although he did say Google is an amazing thing. A public research university in Kentucky with approximately 22,640 students.
Approximately, give or take.
Give or take, huh? I wonder who we're talking about. And then he says that a player was the beneficiary of $100,000, an All-American recruit who apparently committed on June the 3rd. Okay, well, that would be Brian Bowen, a five-star prospect who Rick Pitino had talked about earlier during the recruiting process as a guy that had to come in at the last second, and he paid his own way to get to Louisville, and his parents had to pay for all their meals, and it was an unofficial visit. That comment isn't aging well. This is it for Rick Pitino. He cannot survive. There is no way.
The player involved here is Brian Bowen.
Correct. Brian Bowen.
And this was Rick Pitino on News Radio 840. This was a couple months ago.
June.
So this was in June.
Shortly after Bowen committed to the program.
We got lucky on this one. I had an AAU director call me and ask me if I'd be interested in a player, the player being Bowen. I saw him against another great player from Indiana. I said, yeah, I'd be really interested. They had to come in unofficially, pay for their hotel, pay for their meals. We spent $0 recruiting a five-star athlete who I loved when I saw him play. In my 40 years of coaching, this is the luckiest I've been. That's Rick Pitino in June bragging that they spent $0 to recruit a five-star athlete. It comes out today
well, he,
that there was $100,000 involved.
He spent $0.
He spent, well, there you go. Hey, you know
he
what?
He got off on a technicality.
Hey, there you go. That's a technicality. He can honestly say that he was telling the truth there, and that's plausible deniability, right? I was telling the truth. And what you're seeing here, and the programs are acting fast. USC put their assistant coach on administrative leave immediately this morning. And what you're seeing is head coaches, I have no idea what's going on. And I have never in a million years believed that. Every time a head coach says, I have no idea what's going on with my program, I think you have one job. Now, granted, there are a lot of things that go into that job, but when you are the head coach of a football program or a basketball program or a women's soccer team, your job is to know what's going on with a team, and coaches know.
Wouldn't it be worse if they didn't know?
Yes, because then I've got a clueless idiot running my program. I'm not necessarily saying that absolves them in this situation, but you want your coaches to know what's going on.
Yes.
You know, you also want your coaches to be above board and not cheating scoundrels like Rick Pitino. But in this particular instance, I guess, as you pointed out, he said they didn't spend any money.
So the NCAA, I think, gave Louisville a slap on the wrist for their last scandal, which involved an assistant coach providing escorts to recruits.
And this is, yes, this is the same school that also employs Bobby Petrino as its football coach.
Correct. And the athletic director is in deep trouble here.
Very high
well.
Standard there.
Yeah. But the defense there was the defense that you just said that you never believe. I never believe it either. Oh, well, it was a rogue assistant coach. I knew nothing about it. Well, here comes this evidence where apparently the FBI has video surveillance of a Louisville assistant coach conspiring to pay a player for the 2019 class. Once again, Louisville assistant coach paying a player for the 2019 class, and he was caught on tape saying, "We are already on probation with the NCAA. You will have to be very particularly careful with how the money is passed around to the player." So they got the slap on the wrist, and if you remember correctly, Rick Pitino comes out and says, "I've lost all my faith in the NCAA. This is too harsh. I was suspended for the first 7 games of the ACC season." And while they're on probation, didn't happen before. While they're on probation, the guy gets caught red-handed conspiring to commit another NCAA rules violation. And that's why I think the death penalty discussion is coming up, because they were reprimanded once, they were reprimanded a second time, and they still continue to cheat. And Bruce Pearl has been in trouble with the NCAA. And as I said, no matter how many times you punish certain people, they will continue to break the rules. That's just part of certain coaches' natures, and it just seems to be that way with Rick Pitino.
And this is sort of like a Ponzi scheme of a different ilk here, because it also involves getting the players to sign with the shoe company once they go pro and can sign with, because you can't when you're in college. But this is trying to funnel players to Adidas schools, and then when the player goes pro, then the rep comes back in and signs them to a deal. It's just, there's a lot of stuff going on here, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, and a lot of people feel that this is something that could maybe deliver the death blow. It was a great movie, by the way. I think I saw that referenced on Seinfeld back in the day. Could deliver the death blow to the NCAA, that this is something that organization won't be able to recover from. Now, we've seen the NCAA has 1,000 lives. Every time that we've thought, oh, this is it for them, and they continue to come back. But we got a lot of people coming in on the text line right now, 366-1600. Ryan in Walford says, "This sucks as a consumer. I'm a diehard college sports fan. I'm not naive enough to realize this crap isn't going on, but you know who this hurts? Schools like Iowa. The team names that came out today, do they really need to cheat to win? USC, Louisville, Oklahoma State, and Arizona could all land 4 and 5 stars doing it the right way. I hope they get the book thrown at them. To hell with them.
And we're getting a couple of texts about the crooked athletics being around since the 50s. Let's make one thing perfectly clear here. This is not just giving a guy $100 or giving $1,000 under the table.
A no-show job.
These are federal crimes being committed in the name of trying to lure 17 and 18-year-old kids to programs. So yes, 55, 51, the investigation is run by the FBI, and yes, it is a criminal case. All four of the assistants that were implicated have been arrested and charged. And the managers and financial advisors and the reps from Adidas have also been arrested and charged. This is a criminal case.
Mike in Marengo wants to know, when they make the movie Blue Chips 2, does Nick Nolte still get the starring role? This is very similar to the idea of Blue Chips, which was a very good movie, which up until about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I had never seen from start to finish. And it was on TV one night, and I thought, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to check it out. And it was good. That was back before Shaquille O'Neal made Kazam.
When I thought, that was before. You know what? That was, wasn't it?
Yeah. I thought, you know, it's okay. Yeah, he's not a great actor or anything, but kind of held his own there with Nolte and that. Yeah, nah. Then Kazam came along. 366-1600. Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa football players met the media today in Iowa City. We're going to hear from them coming up in a little bit. Big honors today. Two of them, as a matter of fact, for Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell. He continues to reap the rewards. The funny thing is, of course, Iowa lost to Penn State. How good do you have to be to win national awards in a loss? And that is all you need to know about how good that game was Saturday night at Kinnick Stadium. Penn State came in, and Saquon Barkley is mopping up offensive awards right and left, and the people that are voting on these defensive awards, look, 16 tackles, 3 for a loss, 11 solos. Yeah, who cares if they lost the game? Josie Jewell's your National Defensive Player of the Week, and he's getting honors from all these organizations. Pretty impressive. Kirk Ferentz also today addressed how he would handle players who wanted to protest something. Matt Campbell at Iowa State addressed it yesterday. They have, I think it's safe to say, diverging views on the issue. Campbell said openly, I'd support my guys if they feel strongly about something. I'm all for it. Kirk Ferentz today basically said, I like football to be about football. Do it on your own time. So that's our poll question today, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway at KGYMradio.com. Whose approach to player protests do you prefer? Kirk Ferentz's or Matt Campbell's? And just fair warning, that subject is going to come up again today. I read all of your texts last night. I read all of your emails. There was one email. You don't know my email. It's Todd at KGYMradio.com. I'm not that hard to get a hold of. There was only one email.
Oh, it didn't go to you?
Oh, God. You got some?
Oh, no. I didn't get any emails.
Yeah, no. It went straight to me.
Okay.
And the text, and I was guilty of this last night because I went to the text line afterwards, 7 o'clock, and I said I was going to, and I read every single one of them, and I thought, holy cow. I cannot believe how many people are actually agreeing with some of the things that were said last night and how little pushback there was. And then I remembered that it's 2017 and that people that knew what we were going to talk about and knew that they wouldn't agree and knew that they didn't want to hear, they probably didn't even listen. And so then all of my hope about that discussion last night and that dialogue that we tried to open, I was optimistic for about 10 minutes. And then I said to myself, wait a minute. Those people probably quit listening. But I did hear from some of you, and I do appreciate that because, after all, This is America, and you are entitled to your opinion, and I'm entitled to mine, and I wouldn't have it any other way, and I don't think anybody else would either. 425, Kyle's going to have a Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you on the other end of this break. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show after this.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers on the Pet Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. Stop in and congratulate Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate on 70 years in business. One of them is always there.
With apologies to Three Dog Night, one is not the loneliest number. That's the so-called magic number for the Cubs to clinch the National League Central after last night's 10-2 win over the Cardinals in St. Louis. That means a win by the Cubs tonight over the Cardinals, or a loss by Milwaukee, which sat idle Monday before beginning a series with Cincinnati tonight at Miller Park, locks up the Central for the second consecutive season. The Cardinals won't roll over and die, though. They're 2.5 games behind Colorado in the race for the NL's final wild card. Both teams will turn to their ace right-handers for Game 2 of the series tonight at Busch Stadium. Jake Arrieta looks for win number 15 on the year, while the Cardinals counter with the 12-11 Carlos Martinez. First pitch is set for 7:15. The Cubs will close out the regular season with a 3-game homestand against Cincinnati.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
So I got no lie here. I got the email today. I opened it up at work and fire up your Outlook. First thing you do when you sit at your desk, because I get my email to my phone, but I never check it. When I walk out the door at night, other than being on Twitter and watching ESPN or Fox when I go home, if sports is on, I try to unplug as much as possible. So first thing I see today in the email box, the subject of the email: audition for ESPN. And I'm thinking, oh, well, I'm very flattered here. There must be a talent scout or something. Now, of course, I'm not that dumb and naive. So I open up the email, and the first lines of this: dude, what was today's 5:30 p.m. silly rant all about? You and the sidekick who gushed all over Penn State last week came off like you characters were auditioning for ESPN, your liberal takes. I think he left out the word with there. To defend Kaepernick's and now NFL players seems ridiculous. And then he goes on to talk about, some sort of double standard and something about the Cowboys honoring slain police officers and police officers gunning somebody down. It's a little bit of vague gibberish. And then at the end, it says, keep up the good work behind the mic. Go Hawks. So, hey, kind of like caddying for the Dalai Lama, I've got that going for me. Kyle is in the studio. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update on the way. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was named the Big Ten Co-Defensive Player of the Week yesterday for his performance against Penn State last weekend, and he continued to garner recognition today as he was named the Chuck Bednarik Award Player of the Week, awarded to the nation's best defensive player, as well as the Bronco Nagurski National Defensive Player of the Week. Jewell tied a career high with 16 tackles, 11 of which were solo and 3 for a loss, along with an interception and fumble recovery. Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell delivered some encouraging injury news as he reported that starting defensive backs Kamari Cotton-Moya and DeAndre Payne, as well as defensive lineman Jamal Johnson, have all made good progress over the Cyclones' bye week. The Cyclones play on Thursday this week, but all three players will be close to playing. The Gazette and KJYM's high school football rankings were released today, and there weren't many changes. West Des Moines Dowling stays at the top of Class 4A with Iowa City West 2nd, Cedar Falls 7th, and Cedar Rapids Prairie 10th. Cedar Rapids Xavier is number 1 in Class 3A, and Solon is 3rd. Williamsburg, the top-ranked team in Class 2A with Mount Vernon 3rd, and in Class 1A, Iowa City Regina is 3rd. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Minnesota Twins as they hold on to their wild card lead down the final stretch of the season. They'll have Bartolo Colon on the mound facing Josh Tomlin and the Indians in Cleveland. That game will start shortly after 6, and we'll join it in progress on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
The First Amendment allows for freedom of speech, so what the players are doing is okay, but the NFL is doing a double standard by allowing this and not allowing the Cowboys to honor the police officers who gunned down. If your show has any balls, you will pose that question to your audience of why can the NFL allow players... He's capitalizing all the letters here, so I'm yelling. Why can the NFL allow players to protest Trump and not allow the Cowboys to honor slain police officers? The NFL protesters need action and not stupid and displays of nothing which yield nothing. Fan mail. The viewer mailbag. Could be a new segment.
New segment. Pitch it to the sales staff. I like it.
Look, I went home last night and I said, I don't ever want to talk about that again. And then I looked at myself in the mirror last night and I said, kind of have to, though. And we kind of have to do things that we don't want to do sometimes. And it came up again today with Kirk Ferentz and Matt Campbell's comments yesterday. And we'll get to it again before 7 o'clock tonight. Tom Cakert from HawkeyeReport.com is going to be with us next. We'll talk Iowa and Michigan State as well as Kirk's comments today.
Not available in all states.
Hey, Carl, how is it you're always golfing? I thought you owned a business.
I own a Reese and Irby's robot franchise, Bob.
Robots? What do they do?
They serve 7 flavors of delicious frozen yogurt in just 60 seconds with a choice of 6 tasty toppings. I've got robots in malls, movie theaters, and hospitals, and the franchiser secured these locations for me.
Sounds so easy.
Yep, managing my robots is simple. Each takes about 2 hours of maintenance a week, leaving me plenty of time to practice my short game.
Oh, nice shot. Looks like I need to get some Reese and Irby's robots.
Easiest employees you'll ever have. Just go to frailfranchising.com. Reese and Irby's will supply everything you need. They even secure you high traffic locations. Hey, where are you going?
To learn more about a Reese and Irby's franchise opportunity.
To learn more about your Reese and Irby's Froyo robot franchise opportunity, go now to froyofranchising.com and use promo code 6767. froyofranchising.com, promo code 6767. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 6767.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This just in, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reporting. NBA free agent Dwayne Wade plans to sign with the Cavs tomorrow after he clears waivers. He'll be a solid addition to Cleveland, believes ESPN's Israel Gutierrez.
So you put him with LeBron and you put him with other teammates where he can be a playmaker. He'd be more sort of pick his spots with his shots and everything else. He could be an efficient two guard, and he could definitely contribute to a team that is finals ready.
In one of the biggest crackdowns on corruption in college basketball, 10 men were charged with using bribes to influence star athletes' choice of schools, shoe sponsors, agents, and financial advisors. The assistants, Auburn's Chuck Person, Oklahoma State's Lamont Evans, Arizona's Emmanuel Richardson, and USC's Tony Bland. Among the allegations, some of the hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes went to athletes and their families. Louisville says it has been notified it is part of that investigation. Dolphins linebacker Lawrence Timmons reinstated today, will play on Sunday. He was suspended indefinitely last week after he went AWOL the previous weekend. Baseball, Nationals outfielder Bryce Harper returns from a knee injury tonight and will play against the Phillies.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
Not available in all states.
Hey, Carl, how is it you're always golfing? I thought you owned a business.
I own a Reese and Irby's robot franchise, Bob.
Robots? What do they do?
They serve 7 flavors of delicious frozen yogurt in just 60 seconds with a choice of 6 tasty toppings. I've got robots in malls, movie theaters, and hospitals, and the franchiser secured these locations for me.
Sounds so easy.
Yep, managing my robots is simple. Each takes about 2 hours of maintenance a week, leaving me plenty of time to practice my short game.
Oh, nice shot. Looks like I need to get some Reese and Irby's robots.
Easiest employees you'll ever have. Just go to frailfranchising.com. Reese and Irby's will supply everything you need. They even secure you high traffic locations. Hey, where are you going?
To learn more about a Reese and Irby's franchise opportunity.
To learn more about your recent Irby's Froyo robot franchise opportunity, go now to froyofranchising.com and use promo code 6767. froyofranchising.com, promo code 6767. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 6767.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance Auto know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Battery, this is Alex.
Hi, Alex. I'm overdue for an oil change.
Yeah, right now we got the Valvoline 5 quarts of SynPower Full Synthetic with the Pure Later Boss filter for $29.99.
Perfect.
And get a free Junior Motorsports hat by mail when you buy 5 quarts of any Valvoline oil.
Sweet, thanks.
Now at Advance Auto Parts, 5 quarts of Valvoline SynPower Full Synthetic and a filter are just $29.99. Also at participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores. See store for details.
I love going to football games. I'm Randy Moss, but I hate tracking down tickets.
That's why your man Charles Woodson has got you covered.
Nobody can cover me, Charles.
I meant I can get us tickets easily with Vivid Seats. Millions of tickets, all guaranteed.
Guaranteed, like Randy Moss finding the end zone.
If the end zone is where you want to sit, those are the tickets we'll get. Now, how do you want to pay me?
Charles, you already know. Straight cash, homie. Find your seats at Vivid Seats.
See guarantee terms at Vivid Seats.
This is perhaps the most disturbing thing I have ever seen with regards to social media.
Oh, no.
But there
That's
are,
saying something.
Yeah. There are reports that Twitter is experimenting with going from 140 characters to allowing 280 characters. So you will perhaps someday be able to tweet twice as many hot takes in one push of the button. And just imagine what that tool could do in the hands of some people. Yours truly included. 319-366-1600. That's unanimous so far on the text line. People are saying Kirk Ferentz's approach all the way. Do it on your own time and do it someplace out of sight, out of mind.
Where we can't see it.
Where we, yeah, where there aren't a ton of television cameras, and in the case of the NFL, 60, 70,000 people in the stands. Just go, and I'm sure it would have the exact same effect if you went and did it where there were no TV cameras and there weren't 80,000 people and God knows how many millions of people at home watching you live on TV. Same effect. But that's neither here nor there. You can have your, that is the beauty of this country, and I've said it a million times. You can have your opinion, and I can have mine. Everybody has free speech. Nobody is immune to the repercussions of what they say. That's always important to remember as well. If I say something that crosses the line, then I don't necessarily, I'm not free from my employer coming down and saying, get out of the building. I can, as an American, I can say whatever I want, but I am not immune to the consequences of what I say. And people tend to forget about that when it comes to the First Amendment. But that's neither here nor there. We'll maybe come to that road if the GPS takes us there today before 7 o'clock, and then it's up to us as to whether or not we want to recalculate the route. Right now, let's bring Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com on board. And Tom, let's go ahead and start here, because I am like you. I think this is interesting, and what I thought was really sort of fascinating today is it's the first time I can recall a Kirk Ferentz news conference where it has ended, and a lot of us sort of lingered around and talked about what was said today. Normally, everybody just scatters like cockroaches, and they're off to write their stories and post their videos, and today we sort of stuck around and had a little bit of a dialogue. What's up?
Yeah, it was interesting. Just kind of reacting to what Kirk said, and towards the end of the press conference when he went in more depth about the anthem stuff and the protests that have happened, and it was pretty clear that I think, and Todd, you can correct me if my interpretation is off here or you have a different read on it. My interpretation was Kirk is basically saying, y'all are on my time, and we're going to do it my way, and you guys are going to do it this way, and that's how it is.
Did the players kind of fall in line with that?
Yeah, I think so. They're not going to say anything different. They're, you know, trained not to say a whole lot of controversial things. And I don't think they're gonna toe the company line with Kirk, whether they feel internally different than what they're saying. They're just going to follow what this is. And it's the same, you know, the locker room is the same. It's a different locker room, different kind of people or different people, whatever, in the NFL. But all those guys are just, they're kind of together. And if you have guys going in all different directions, then it's going to probably be a problem for the team. You're going to have some internal strife.
I think it's only a matter of time before this trickles down to the college ranks, and we've already seen it here sort of with Alan Lazard at Iowa State with what he put out on social media over the weekend. But what do you think the reaction of the fan base would be if a player or players at Iowa decided that, you know what, it's fine that Kirk says he wants it done this way, but we're going to do something. What do you think? How do you think fans would react to that?
I'll go just based on one reaction that we've seen, and that's a former Hawkeye, Chris Kirksey, who took a knee and prayed with his teammates on the sidelines of the Cleveland Browns. And we had several threads on our message board that basically said Chris Kirksey should never be an honorary captain. He shouldn't be welcomed back. And that was the general reaction. There were other people who defended him and said, you know, it's his freedom, it's his right to do that. But they didn't want anything to do with him anymore, basically. Even though Chris has done some great things, if you follow him on social media and give him back to his community in Cleveland and also back in his hometown of St. Louis, he's helping people, he's helping kids, he's, you know, getting to know him a little bit during his time at Iowa. High-quality guy, a very soft-spoken, you know, not a radical by any means, you know, I just found him to be a very nice, engaging, really a gentleman during his time at Iowa.
Let's get to Michigan State, the opponent this week. The Spartans were the last time that Iowa played Michigan State 2 years ago in Indianapolis, the Big Ten championship game. Kirk Ferentz said that feels like it was 10 years ago, and I couldn't help but sit there today and agree with that sentiment. What are your thoughts?
I did, too. I just kind of felt like, God, that just seems like eons ago. And you look at both the programs, and, you know, I kind of think that game just took the life out of both teams, the way they played in the bowl games that year. Of course, you know, Iowa lost in the Rose Bowl to Stanford, and Michigan State had the unenviable task of going up against Alabama and, you know, really didn't play very well. So I just remember going down to talk to the players after the game, and you just had that look on their face like they had just left their entire beings on that field at Lucas Oil. And then you look at the directions of the program where Iowa is kind of, yeah, they took a little bit of a step back last year from where they were, and I think everybody expected that. And Michigan State just kind of cratered last year and has had all kinds of internal issues. So it's just, it's weird how things have really changed in just a really short period of time, and it does feel like it was forever ago.
What do we know about this 2017 Michigan State team? I think it's interesting, the 10 years comment, because I think it's very possible that Michigan State has gone through about 10 years of regression in the last 12 months between the 3-9 season and now the start to this season and all the off the field issues. But a lot of unknowns about Michigan State this year.
Yeah, there are. You know, I was reading up on some other stuff the other night, and everybody will remember L.J. Scott, the guy who ran the last the touchdown in late in the game, and how, you know, he was kind of the future there. And now they're talking about him maybe not being a starter because he's been putting the ball on the ground. And they've got a young quarterback, and they really haven't found anybody to, you know, really take it to another level like Connor Cook did. Their defense has taken a step back. They've had a lot of guys leave. Guys that had highly recruited guys that left for a lot of different issues that have occurred there. So they're really in a serious transition period right now, and trying to get that back on solid footing. And it's, you know, it's a lot like what Iowa went through you know, maybe a decade or so ago when they had some, you know, a real good run of success, and then kind of took a step back for a few years. And that's when we, you know, had the Kirk 2.0, if you will, the 08-09 seasons, where they kind of got on a roll late and then rolled into 09 and played very well.
Tom Caker joining us from HawkeyeReport.com. Any feeling today when talking to the players that there may still be a lingering hangover from how things finished up Saturday night?
I didn't get a sense that there was. Just body language-wise, talking to them, just, you know, kind of getting a feel for things. It seems like they're all back on board. I did think it was interesting that Kirk said they've kind of had to, it almost seemed like, modify practice this week to make sure guys are fully recovered from that game. And it's a lot of that new age stuff that they're doing with the monitors that all the players wear that can track their condition and their conditioning and their entire body, really. And that gives them feedback. And so they know when to push and when to not push in practice. And I'm guessing they've probably been pretty careful in practice this week with some of the guys to make sure they've gotten the right rest and recovery heading into this game. Because, Todd, you and I have seen all these Iowa-Michigan State games over the years, and there's really maybe one or two that were not, 16-13 type games that were just brutally tough physical games. I go back to that 09 game up at Michigan State, which I still think is maybe one of the most physical games I've ever seen in my entire life, and that 15 championship game, which was just another just war on the field.
Yeah, this is, I think, Big Ten football. If you asked somebody define Big Ten football, they'd probably be pointed in the direction of Iowa, Michigan State. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, they're programs that mirror each other. I mean, Kirk Ferentz and D'Antonio are a lot alike. They want to build their programs very similarly. They want to out physical you. They want to win the line of scrimmage and fight you there. I expect it's going to be a real battle for Iowa. And the thing you worry about is the Iowa defense last week played 99 snaps. I think they're going to have to get some sustained drives and spin that clock a little bit on Saturday if Iowa's going to win this game.
You kind of lead me right to my next question. I know Kirk talked a little bit about it today, but should there be any concern with the lack of consistency out of the running game so far through four games?
Yeah, I think there might be a little bit of a concern. They haven't been as consistent. There's been some home runs. There's been some big plays. But it hasn't, you know, there was in the North Texas game in the second half in particular, I thought was kind of what Kirk would hope, where they just grind down drives, 8-10 minute drives, and get the other team off the field and run the ball primarily. And I think that's ideally what Kirk Ferentz wants on Saturday. Now, whether they can do that, I think is a whole another question.
Tom, when you take a look at this Iowa team through four games and now the Big Ten opener, and you see them and the way that they stacked up against Penn State on Saturday night, do you feel that you can get a good read on where the rest of the season is going at this point?
Maybe. I looked at the season and I thought last week and this week were kind of the barometer games. And if they could get 1-1 out of this section of the season, I think it had a chance to be 8-9 wins. But I thought they had to get one of these two games to get there. But having said that, I thought they played I think Penn State's the best team in the Big Ten right now. I really do. I think they're better than Ohio State. I think they're better than Michigan just because they've got more on offense, and I was very impressed with what they were able to do defensively as well. And for Iowa to go toe-to-toe with them after having looked at what happened last year up in Happy Valley, I mean, it just tells me this team's probably a little bit better than I gave them credit for, and I kind of came away feeling like this team has a chance to be pretty good. Now, if they go up East Lansing and lay an egg, then I'm kind of back to maybe where I was before the season, thinking, well, maybe it's going to be it's going to be a struggle for them. And, you know, another loss right now really kind of puts any chances they might have to make it to Indianapolis and potentially play Penn State again. Really difficult to imagine.
What was the update given on Brandon Snyder today and his potential return this season?
He's back at practice. He's doing some things in practice, but I think they're kind of ramping that slowly. I wouldn't expect that we'll see him. We may see him in uniform. I think Kirk said that he's going to be in uniform. He's going to be up there with the jersey on and doing pregame stuff on Saturday, but he's not going to play. So he'll just travel with the team and be a leader like he has been. I mean, even he traveled to Ames. He was part of the travel party to Ames. He didn't dress, but he was on the sidelines helping the younger guys in the defensive secondary out and what they were doing. But I think maybe we start looking at after the bye week. I think that's probably a realistic avenue to look. Maybe he gets out on special teams or something like that initially, and then maybe by November he's back out there at least getting some reps.
Another name that came up today, and I don't think people would maybe be as interested in him as if his name was Brian Smith, but Toks Akinrabadi, it sounds like they're actually toying with the idea of seeing if they can redshirt him, getting through the year without him playing. You think that's going to be a possibility?
Yeah, I think that's been kind of the plan all year. He had kind of stepped back a little bit in terms of the pecking order when you saw Ivory Kelly Martin emerge, and he and Torrin Young were really kind of neck and neck last year, and they just made the decision to go with Toks instead of Torrin and redshirted Torrin last year. Now I think this year it's we're going to redshirt Toks and keep Torrin in his own, in this class and keep going with him as a redshirt freshman. I think that was kind of six of one, half dozen of another, and there's just not many snaps for him. So he's got a redshirt year available. You can use it. And I think the only other thing with that is now you've got three backs all in the same class, and that will be something you have to manage.
Tom, before we let you go, you are aware that Alex is a huge Cardinals fan. He wants me to ask you if you think the Cubs will wrap things up tonight.
I'm hoping so. I think so. I know there's been some. What was that liquor store you said, Todd? It was dirt cheap liquor.
Yeah. Alex is shaking his head. Yes. Get the champagne ordered, says Tom.
Maybe they'll back into it, and maybe the brew crew will lose tonight.
That's no fun. You never want to back into it.
Tom, I know you don't, but it's always good to celebrate down at Busch Stadium if you can.
Alex is upset at me for saying that. He, of course, would never have me ask you that. Hey, before we let you go, you're a big time college basketball fan. I've got to ask, What was your reaction today to the FBI news, and do you think that we've heard the end of this?
Oh my God! It's maybe the most incredible college basketball story off the court of my lifetime. It is. I mean, I think all of us who follow it closely and are involved in the recruiting side, we know this stuff's been going on, but nobody could ever prove it. And the NCAA just doesn't have the power to really dig into it. They don't have subpoena power. They can't get things. FBI is serious business. And the fact that they're involved, the fact that they put out a tip line, holy cow, every wacko fan base and every assistant coach or head coach is going to be calling in there, airing their grievances about how they got rooked out of a player. This is the tip of the iceberg, what we saw today, where this is going to go. And it's going to change college basketball as we know it, I think, in terms of how recruiting is done.
The irony is if they had that tip line in 1989, it would have been Bruce Pearl calling it on Jimmy Collins, and now this year it's folks probably calling on Bruce Pearl at Auburn. We'll see where this goes. Tom, we appreciate it as always. 454. We'll talk a little bit more about this because I think this is just the tip of the iceberg with this story, but we do need to take a quick break Come back, Kyle will rejoin us. He's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update as we draw our number one to a close here. You're listening to KGYM on 106.3, 107.5 FM and 1600 AM. Back after this.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
A piece of cake. A Sunday morning. ABC. Those are easy. So is earning a power rate and ATM refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking say they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Would you rather, this is a Thursday thing here, but would you rather have twice as many characters on Twitter or an edit button?
Already voted in it. Edit okay. Button, 100%.
Okay, yeah, it's an unofficial poll on my Twitter, at Todd Brommelkamp, but 78% of people are saying edit button over more characters.
Easily.
As a matter of fact, somebody took the Twitter announcement, the 280 character announcement, and successfully and succinctly edited it down to 140 characters. So it just makes you stop and think about what you're trying to say. A guy who does that 6 times a show, Kyle Mann, with us in the studio. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. Midwest One has over 40 locations across the corridor for all your banking needs.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was named the Big Ten Co-Defensive Player of the Week yesterday for his performance against Penn State last weekend and continued to garner recognition today as he was named the Chuck Bednarik Award Player of the Week, awarded to the nation's best defensive player, as well as the Bronco Nagurski National Defensive Player of the Week. Jewell tied a career high with 16 tackles, 11 of which were solo and 3 for a loss, along with an interception and fumble recovery. Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell delivered some encouraging injury news as he reported that starting defensive backs Kamari Cotton-Moya and DeAndre Payne, as well as defensive lineman Jamal Johnson, have all made good progress over the Cyclones' bye week. They play on Thursday this week, but all 3 players will be close to playing. The Gazette and KGYM's high school football rankings were released today, and there weren't many changes from last week. West Des Moines Dowling stays at the top of Class 4A with Iowa City West 2nd, Cedar Falls 7th, and Cedar Rapids Prairie 10th. Cedar Rapids Xavier is number 1 in Class 3A, and Solon is 3rd. Williamsburg, the top-ranked team in Class 2A with Mount Vernon 3rd. And in Class 1A, Iowa City Regina is 3rd. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Minnesota Twins as they try to hold on to their wild card lead down the final stretch of the season. They'll have Bartolo Colon on the mound facing Josh Tomlin and the Indians in Cleveland. That game will start shortly after 6, and we'll join it in progress on 107.5 FM, the North Gem.
It's a big, sexy night for the Minnesota Twins. His starts are always fun to watch. We're going to be talking a lot more Iowa football and this FBI college basketball story, which I agree with Tom Kakert. This is one of the biggest stories we've seen in college basketball in years, and it is just the beginning. So is this. Hour number 1 in the books. 2 more to come. Back after this.
It's Boost's Fall Flip Event. Join Boost Mobile, and when you add a line, get a free phone in your first month free. All powered by the fast and reliable Sprint.